Today is Saturday, September 5th, and this is the World Socialist website. Articles have been read by an automated narration. The New York Times fabricates a Russian sabotage narrative. The New York Times published a report on its front page Friday under the headline "Dangerous Pattern of Russian Sabotage in Europe Risks Clash with NATO," asserting without substantiation a spate of plots by Russia to carry out attacks on NATO members. This spate of plots has somehow managed neither to hurt anyone nor to leave any tangible evidence of its existence, beyond the claims of government officials and their media spokesmen braying for an escalation of the war with Russia. They are, in other words, a total fabrication, concocted as part of a relentless propaganda campaign by the American and European ruling classes to justify the escalation of war between NATO and a nuclear-armed state. This article is an example of what in an earlier period was called yellow journalism, in the words attributed to William Randolph Hearst in 1897, explaining his efforts to dragoon the public into supporting the Spanish-American War. "You furnish the pictures, and I'll furnish the war." The Times builds Friday's report by Michael Schwartz and Adam Goldman around allegations of a Russian drone attack on a Ukrainian cargo plane parked at Leipzig-Wehalle Airport, a NATO military airlift hub. The allegations rest on a drone found at the airport on August 4th, which the German government has claimed, without substantiation, was Russian. The newspaper alleges that the supposed event in Germany is the most dramatic in a spate of such attacks that includes plots to place incendiary devices aboard DHL cargo planes, blow up railroad tracks in Poland, and burn down warehouses and shopping centers all over Europe. The Times cites German Interior Minister Alexander Dobrindt, who said Tuesday that the drone operators worked on behalf of Russian state entities, and neither he nor the Times presented any proof. The Danish Intelligence Service, PT, is quoted saying that Russia is both planning and carrying out acts of sabotage against defense companies and the defense industry in Europe. It goes on and on like this, unsubstantiated claim after unsubstantiated claim, not accompanied by a single fact. And nowhere is the total lack of evidence of this sabotage campaign contrasted with the fact that, at this very moment, missiles produced by NATO countries and guided by their targeting data are raining down on Russian cities. The purpose of the allegations in creating a casus belli is stated by Julianne Smith, the former U.S. ambassador to NATO. "Because Russia has not been adequately deterred and Moscow has not paid a price, Putin is interpreting that as a signal to keep going." The Times asserts that Russian attacks in Europe began occurring shortly after Russia launched its full-scale invasion of Ukraine in 2022. Yet critically, the article ignores the most destructive attack on European infrastructure in those 4 years, the destruction of the Nord Stream gas pipelines from Russia to Germany on September 26, 2022. Within a day of the explosions, the Times helped launch the campaign to blame Russia. On September 27, 2022, it headlined its briefing, "Russia Suspected of Pipeline Sabotage," and quoted Polish Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki, "We do not know the details of what happened yet, but we can clearly see that it is an act of sabotage." But by March 7, 2023, the Times itself reported, again citing unnamed American officials, that new intelligence suggests a pro-Ukrainian group carried out the bombing. On June 30, 2026, Germany's federal prosecutor indicted a Ukrainian army officer, alleging that he and other Ukrainian soldiers conceived the plan, acting by order of Ukrainian state agencies, planted the explosives from the yacht Andromeda, chartered in Rostock, and aimed to cut off the gas supply permanently. The Times cannot mention Nord Stream because it would expose the claim of 4 years of Russian attacks on Europe as a lie. The Times has long played a critical role in spreading U.S. war propaganda. In the run-up to the invasion of Iraq in 2003, the Times and its reporter Judith Miller spread the lies about weapons of mass destruction and aluminum tubes, which the Bush administration used to justify its criminal invasion. In both cases, the newspaper printed the claims of unnamed officials as fact, and the claims were exposed only after they had served their purpose. Schwartz and Goldman have spent years in a systematic effort to demonize Russia in order to justify war. Schwartz, a former Moscow correspondent, shared a 2020 Pulitzer Prize for articles exposing the predations of Vladimir Putin's regime. Goldman shared a 2018 Pulitzer for coverage of Russian meddling in the 2016 election. The World Socialist website asked on September 28, 2022, 2 days after the attacks on the Nord Stream pipelines, "Cui bono? Who benefits? And who had the motive to carry it out?" The same question applies to the spate of plots, the Times now alleges. The question must be asked, who benefits from the escalation of the conflict between Russia and NATO? For 4 years, the Kremlin has allowed NATO to cross one red line after another. Western tanks, then a Ukrainian ground invasion, using NATO hardware of Russia's Kursk region in August 2024, then American and British missiles fired into Russian territory, and now daily long-range strikes on Russian refineries and power plants. Russia's policy has been to avoid a direct collision with NATO. It has been, on the other hand, the policy of the NATO powers to pursue the maximum possible escalation of the war, seeking, through the subjugation of the former Soviet Union, a means of offsetting and counterbalancing the crisis of both American and European capitalism. The report comes as the Ukrainian regime is in a deepening crisis. A poll by the Ukrainian firm Socas, published August 6th, found 49.3% of Ukrainians naming government corruption as the greatest harm to the country, against 44.6% naming Russian drone and missile attacks. Inside Ukraine, opposition to forced conscription is growing, with widespread and significant protests throughout the country against the kidnapping of young people by roving bands of recruiters. The Times speaks for the Democratic Party and the sections of the intelligence agencies and the ruling class whose opposition to Trump has centered on foreign policy. 2 months before the November 3rd midterm elections, the Democrats' central preoccupation is to secure a massive escalation of the war against Russia. The Trump administration, for its part, sent the CIA director to Moscow last month while it bombs Iran and prepares for war with China. The lies that sold the invasion of Iraq were exposed after the invasion. The lies now being told about Russia are meant to serve the same purpose. And this time, the war they are preparing is between nuclear-armed powers. They must be exposed before they have done their work, and the only force with an interest in doing so is the working class in the United States, Europe, Russia, and Ukraine. Opposition to war will not come through any section of the political establishment that is organizing it. It requires the independent mobilization of workers against their own ruling classes and against the capitalist system that produces war. Millions purge from U.S. food stamp rolls as Wall Street demands more cuts. The budget reconciliation law signed by President Donald Trump on July 4, 2025, H.R. 1, the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, OBBB, has produced the largest reduction in the history of the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, otherwise known as food stamps. By slashing $187 billion from the program over 10 years, a cut of roughly 20%, the legislation has fundamentally reshaped what remains of the American social safety net. The Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, CBPP, puts the decline at roughly 5 million people, or 12% since the law's enactment. According to U.S. Department of Agriculture figures, 36.6 million people are now receiving benefits, down 5.7 million from May 2025. Below the pre-pandemic level and the lowest number enrolled in 17 years. Children have borne the heaviest share of the cuts. In the 25 states that report data on children, 1.2 million have been cut off since July 2025. Refugees, people granted asylum, survivors of trafficking and domestic violence, all lawfully in the U.S., have been stripped of eligibility outright, Undocumented immigrants have never been eligible. This is a deliberate, bipartisan policy of the ruling elite. While hundreds of billions are appropriated for war, this policy attacks nutrition, promotes hunger and disease, and takes food out of the mouths of workers and their families. The average benefit in fiscal 2025 was $187.94 a month per person, or about $6.26 a day. Even this paltry sum is considered excessive by the financial oligarchy. The ruling class has been explicit about what it wants. Under the headline, "The Food Stamp Reform is Working," the Wall Street Journal celebrated the snap cutbacks in an editorial Wednesday, writing, "As always, the political left is spinning these declines as a human tragedy." Not so. Republicans have merely ended the literal free lunch for able-bodied beneficiaries in states. The editorial concluded, "Washington's welfare buffet is fiscally unsustainable and promotes dependency." The main mechanism of the cuts is stringent new work rules for recipients. The Congressional Budget Office had estimated that these work requirements could remove 2.4 million people from SNAP in a typical month. But by May, enrollment was already about as low as it had been forecast to go in 2030. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins called the results a pretty big win for those wielding the axe to the program. The machinery of removal from SNAP. Under the work requirements spelled out in the OBBRA, so-called able-bodied adults without dependents aged 18 to 64 must document at least 80 hours a month of work, job training, or community service, or lose benefits after 3 months in any 36-month period. The law raised the age ceiling for complying with the work rules to 64 from the previous 54, forcing workers approaching retirement to prove their eligibility to receive the pittance in monthly food assistance. At the same time, veterans, people experiencing homelessness, and youth aging out of foster care were stripped of exemptions from the work requirements. The definition of a dependent child was narrowed from under 18 years to under 14, so that a parent caring for a 15-year-old is now subject to the work rules. Additionally, the waiver for areas of high unemployment now applies only where official statewide unemployment exceeds 10%, a threshold no state meets. The removals from the SNAP rolls have been overwhelmingly bureaucratic. While the paperwork burden for recipients in the states has exploded, federal funding for SNAP administration has been cut in half. What results, Auburn University public health historian Zachary Schultz told Newsweek, is a form of attrition driven by paperwork, missed notices, or difficulty completing interviews. As a result of the assault on benefits, participation in SNAP has fallen in every state but Alaska, and by 10% or more in 23 of them. The biggest drop has been in Arizona, where enrollment fell 54% between July 2025 and May 2026, with nearly 473,000 people cut off from benefits, about 180,000 of them children. For the first time, more Arizonans now visit food banks each month than receive food stamps. We think of ourselves as the canary in the coal mine, Natalie Gyro, CEO of the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, told NPR. We are showing the rest of the country a really scary scenario. The attack on food stamps is having a ripple effect on school nutrition programs. Children in SNAP households are automatically certified for free school meals, and schools qualify for universal free breakfast and lunch when at least a quarter of their students take part in programs like SNAP. So as the rolls shrink, whole schools lose eligibility. Miami-Dade County Public Schools, where more than 500 schools had qualified for universal free meals, has ended them at most of those schools. Losing free school meals costs a family roughly $1,000 per student a year. Hunger, disease, and a bill sent to the states, food banks cannot replace what is lost through food stamp cuts. SNAP provides 9 meals for everyone supplied by the emergency food system, and federal food bank aid has itself been slashed. Aaron McAleer, president of Project Bread in Massachusetts, said, "The scale of this is bigger than the food pantries and food banks can meet." Under the ABBA changes, the state's share of administrative costs will rise from 50% to 75% in fiscal 2027. Beginning in October 2027, they must pay between 5 and 15% of benefit costs for the first time in the nutrition program's history. Snap participants already spend roughly $1,400 less a year on healthcare than comparable non-participants. Reducing a family's food budget has a direct impact on health and well-being, with food insecurity associated with cardiovascular disease, diabetes, hypertension, birth defects, and mental illness. As hunger has grown, the government has responded by destroying the means of tracking it. The U.S. Department of Agriculture announced in September 2025 that it would stop producing the Household Food Security Report, the country's primary instrument for measuring hunger for more than three decades, calling it redundant, costly, politicized, and extraneous. The last figures available showed 47.9 million Americans, including 14.1 million children, in food insecure homes in 2024. Over decades, the Democrats have denounced the cuts in words and ratified them in votes, laying the groundwork for the present assault. The three-month limit on food stamps for able-bodied adults without dependents was created by the 1996 Welfare Reform Bill, signed by Bill Clinton. In June 2023, Joe Biden signed the debt ceiling deal, raising the age for SNAP work requirements from 49 to 54, with 165 House Democrats and 44 Senate Democrats voting yes. Trump's 2025 law then extended it to 64. In negotiations on the Farm Bill, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said on July 20th he would oppose any farm bill without more time for states and counties to prepare to shoulder the cost of SNAP. Not one Democrat, however, has demanded that a single person removed from the rolls be restored to them. The continuing resolution the House approved Tuesday by 370 votes to 48 to keep the government running until December 11th does nothing to change the work requirements, the age 64 ceiling, the immigrant exclusions, or the cost shift to the states, which are all permanent law under the ABPA. The great majority of Democrats voted for it. The opening of a larger offensive against the working class. On August 24th, the Washington Post's editorial board declared that there's no realistic path to solvency for the U.S. government without changes to the retirement state, proposing that Social Security be reduced to a tax-funded transfer payment as a floor, with means-tested benefits and compulsory private savings above that. The Social Security trustees reported June 9th that the retirement trust fund will be exhausted in late 2032, after which benefits would fall 22% absent congressional action. House Speaker Mike Johnson said June 8th that Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security have to be adjusted and fixed, adding, "We have a plan to do that next year, after the November elections." Democratic Representative Tom Suozzi of New York introduced a bill with Republican Tom Cole creating a Social Security Commission modeled on the 1983 Commission that raised the retirement age to 67 and tax benefits. Democratic Senators Chris Coons, Jean Shaheen, Tim Kaine, and Mark Warner co-sponsored a bill creating a fiscal commission to recommend further cuts. All of this comes as the House funds the Pentagon at $839 billion a year, and the administration seeks $87.6 billion more, most of it for the Iran war. Global bond yields stand at their highest since 2008, while the markets demand that governments pay for war by cutting what remains of social programs. The Democrats' criticism of the food stamp cuts is confined solely to its timetable, and their criticism of the coming assault on Social Security and Medicare will be confined to the same. To fight the assault on programs and benefits the working class has wrested from the ruling elite in struggle, the working class must break free from the political straitjacket of the pro-capitalist, big business parties and fight for a workers' government based on a socialist program. Professor Mark Steinberg, leading scholar of Soviet and Russian history, submits letter in defense of Bogdan Sirotyuk. The World Socialist website has received the following letter in defense of Bogdan Sirotyuk from Mark D. Steinberg, a leading scholar of Soviet and Russian history, professor emeritus at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, who previously taught at Harvard University and Yale University. A former editor of Slavic Review and director of Illinois' Russian, East European, and Eurasian Center, Steinberg is the author or co-author of The Fall of the Romanovs, Voices of Revolution, 1917, Proletarian Imagination, Self-Modernity and the Sacred in Russia, 1910-1925, The Russian Revolution, 1905-1921, and the widely used textbook, A History of Russia, to the Pervomaysk City District Court. Forgive me writing in English as my Ukrainian is still underdeveloped. Having read the verdict against Bogdan Sirotyuk, convicted of treason against Ukraine, I would like to express my dismay and disappointment at the court's action and at its legal and political logic. I write as a historian of the Russian Empire, the Soviet Union, and post-Soviet Russia and Ukraine, and as an opponent of Putin's regime and the Russian war against Ukraine, such that I have been placed by the Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs on a stop list of scholars deemed Russophobic and banned from entry into the Russian Federation. Sadly, the logic of your verdict, though perhaps technically allowable according to Article 111 of the Criminal Code, I am not a legal expert, is a mirror image of the political approach toward dissent by the Putin regime, which has branded Russian critics of the regime and the war as foreign agents, as members of undesirable organizations, or as treasonous, arresting and sentencing many to prison and forcing many others to flee the country. I am not affiliated with the World Socialist website or the Socialist Equality Party, nor do I endorse all their positions. But I cannot be silent when a country where I have lived as a researcher and care greatly about treats a person's writings and opinions as sedition or treason. This has all the signs of a thought crime that does not call for violence. I strongly believe that ideas and opinions and communications of these, when they do not plan violence, has no place in a democratic society, not in the U.S., where we have our own threats for free thought and speech, not in Russia, which is no longer democratic, and not in Ukraine, which seeks to be a European country embracing European values and legal norms. What I have been able to learn about the case, mostly from the verdict itself, though it was a former student of mine who alerted me to the case, saddens me deeply. Sincerely, Mark Steinberg, Professor Emeritus, University of Illinois. Bogdan's defense lawyers are preparing to file for an appeal by September 9th. We call on all readers to sign and circulate the petition, calling for his release, and send letters to the Pervomaysk City District Court, inbox at pm.mk.court.gov.ua, and the Mykolaiv Court of Appeal, inbox at mka.court.gov.ua, copying Free Bogdan at wmsyums.org. We also urge all supporters of democratic rights and opponents of war to make as substantial a donation as possible to support the campaign to free Bogdan Sirotyuk.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.